Do I need to tell that little humorous antic again? No, okay, I won't. last week we talked about the new year and how looking forward is important, and there are some statements that we need to embrace to have a better relationship with God, right? And so we talked about a clean slate. We talked about shoulda, woulda, coulda. I will, I can, and I am. Do you remember those? Okay. And the most important thing we can do is to have a closer relationship with God. That's really the best thing for us. And if you look at Philippians, I think I have PowerPoint. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 8. There we go. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and he be found in him, and having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this beginning scripture. We pray today that it would be a ministry to our heart, and that we would be challenged today. We thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. After Paul looked at his life and everything he had accomplished, he decided that it was all worthless. Nothing was more important than a pile of garbage, is what he called it, and compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. And we should value our relationship with Christ as being more important than anything in our life. And so anything that you've got going on in your life, nothing is as important as your relationship with the Lord. Building a better relationship with Christ is going to be and should be our ultimate goal. So let's take a look at some statements that are going to get us there. All right? Now, to build this closer walk with Jesus or Christ, we may have to make some major changes in our lives and in our lifestyle. And one of the questions that we're going to ask right out of the gate is, are you willing to change your schedule? Are you willing to change some of the plans that you have in your life in order to just have a closer walk with Jesus? Whatever you give up is well worth the gain that comes from having that relationship with Jesus. I can think of many relationships in my own life that I find gratifying, that I find enjoyable. Nothing is more enjoyable or gratifying or satisfying as a relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's this mantra that I want to I want you to take with you today. So the mantra would be, I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'll do. I don't normally do this, but let's say this together, okay? And I want you to write it down. I think there's a line on your notes for you to just write a line, and you can write it down. I will do whatever it takes. All right? Now let's say that together. I will do whatever it takes. Now, there's something about saying something that makes us feel like we're going to follow through with it. Like when your doc says, you're going to do this, you say, yeah, doc, I swear, I promise. Right? I'm going to do this. I know. Right? Or your best friend says, you promise? You got to do this. Whatever it takes, I'll do whatever it takes. So how do we begin this relationship with God to do whatever it takes, right? How do we begin? Well, number one, we're going to confess our sins and we're going to ask for forgiveness. That's the first thing it takes in our relationship with God. We have to begin with the intimacy of confession and forgiveness. When you ask for forgiveness and somebody grants you forgiveness, it makes you all warm and fuzzy inside, doesn't it? And what I'm talking about, it can be as simple as a bill. If you go into Fred Meyer, do you have do they have accounts at Freddy or Wilco? Go to Wilco and they have an account, and you say, you know what, I got to pay this, but I don't have any money. Can you just like forgive the bill? And they say, yes. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to smile and you're going to say thanks. And you're going to feel so good about the forgiveness you get because you confessed. When Faith and I were really struggling financially early in our marriage, there were people who called, and when they would call, we didn't want to answer the phone. You ever been in that situation? Well, lo and behold, if you answer the phone and you say, hey, right now I don't have a job, I can't afford it, they say, oh, well, how can we help? And so there's this weird feeling of, wow, now they want to help me, and there's it's just kind of cool, you know? It's really great to be forgiven. So the first thing we have to do in order to get our heart in the right position is to confess and ask for forgiveness, right? And I think confessing and receiving forgiveness that God has freely given us, okay, opens up so many avenues for us. If we just ask God for forgiveness, there are so many things that He'll do for you. Number one is salvation, obviously. But you'll get to experience things being forgiven. When somebody else struggles with being forgiven, you can say, you know what? Jesus would forgive you. And you can share that with him. I remember when I was in high school. I know a lot of us can't remember that far back. But I do. And when I was in my freshman year, I was a choir boy, right? So I went to a choir concert. After my part of the choir concert was over, I told you, I've confessed things to you guys before, so you know that I'm not an angel. So after this choir part was over, I went back. It was a Christmas concert. I went back and stole $80 out of this girl's purse. Now, before, I'll tell you the whole story, and then you'll understand why I'm telling you this story. So I stole $80 from this this girl's purse. And back in the 80s, $80 was a lot of bucks, you know. And so I went through my freshman year, the rest of my freshman year, and I went through my sophomore year, my junior year, avoiding Julie. That was the girl's name. Julina Walker, I remember it. And then in summer, between my junior and senior year, I went to camp. And I decided where I needed to ask for forgiveness, right? Because here I am. I'm learning about forgiveness. I've been going to church for a long time, so I'm learning about forgiveness. And I had a summer job. I earned the $80. And when we got back to school, I walked up to her. I was nervous. I said, "Julie, here, I wanted to ask your forgiveness. I know I stole this from you." And she said, I forgave you my freshman year. I said, "But I didn't ask for forgiveness." She said, "Well, that's just part of who we are as Christians. We understand forgiveness." And here I carried this around for, not the $80, but I carried this guilt around for that long. And my life changed. But what was different was I was seeing that this person who had Jesus Christ in her heart and in her life forgave me. Right? Confession. You ever heard the term confession is good for the soul? What needed to happen for me is I needed to confess to stealing that money. Because I wouldn't have never, she would have never told me she forgave me because she was a part of a church that taught her to forgive even if they don't ask. So I would have never known forgiveness from a person like that unless I had asked. And you know, the biggest example of forgiveness through confession is Jesus Christ. It makes it so much easier when we know we're going to be forgiven too. I didn't know how she was going to go on to me. I thought, you know, she's going to have her brother beat me up for whatever, you know, I don't know. It was crazy. Lots of cowboys in Tucson. Anyway, so I didn't know what was going to happen, but confession is what I needed to do. I needed to clean the air. See, the Bible tells us when we confess our sins to Him, He is what? He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness or all wickedness. And I have to confess to God. Now, I know that sounds all so simple, but confession is not simple. It's admitting you've done something wrong, even if it's to a person. So, the next thing we have to do is to get into God's Word. Get into the Bible. And then listen when God speaks to us. I know that most of us would love to see a big supernatural experience where the sky opens up and God would speak to us in this big booming voice and say, "This is what you're supposed to do." But the truth is, God spoke to us already, right there. He speaks louder on the cross than we can even imagine. Right? So, we want to understand what God says to us. And lots of people, when they're looking for this big moment, miss the conversation that God's having with you. We're looking for a big miracle because we're told He's capable of miracles. Do you believe that? Yeah, I do. I believe that. And so sometimes we wait around for miracles and we forget to look that He's speaking to us in other terms. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You know, I said earlier, get into God's word. Sometimes he speaks to us through his word. And if you're not listening to his word, you're not going to hear what God has to say. So here's a few other ways how God talks to us. Through people. He can have somebody with a gift of prophecy. And before we argue, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to argue about what the gift of prophecy is. But I will tell you this. If somebody speaks into your life in a prophetic manner, you're going to know it. Okay? Because I've had it happen. So he can speak through people. He can speak through the circumstances you're in. I mean, listen, when we're going through circumstances and we don't understand, that's how he speaks to us as well. Maybe he's telling you to slow down. Maybe he's telling you to stop altogether. I don't know. But the other way is through God's word. So that's a commitment we need to make. I will study God's word, right? And as we move forward to developing this closer relationship with God, we have to realize that we need a conversation with the Creator, right? We need to have this conversation with the Creator. And what's a conversation with God? Does anybody want to jump in there? What does it mean, Dylan, to talk to God? What are you doing? You're praying. You pray. You talk to God. You open up your scripture, and then you sit down and you start talking to God, right? And then we look at his writings, and we see what he says to us. And if you look at the writings of Matthew, you'll see that Jesus clearly talked with God often. Matter of fact, he tells us how we're supposed to. Remember, he says, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen, a lot of people use that prayer in a rote manner. You know, they kind of, that's how they open their services at church. And I'm not telling you that that's what we're supposed to do. It's a pattern for prayer. Our Father, recognize who he is, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, God, you are wonderful. You see, it's a pattern for prayer, right? And if you're stuck and you don't know how to pray, start reading Psalms. Because Psalms are full of prayers. Read Psalms and you'll see what David, and he prayed through some pretty tough times. So if you just read it, you know, just pick one and read it, you'll hear David crying out to God. If you want a great relationship with God, or even just a better relationship with God, one of the things you have to do is attend church regularly. Regularly. If you want a better relationship with God, that is key. And how do I know this? Well, you know, people say, well, I can worship at home. Well, you can, but the Bible says, let us not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, how wonderful for God to come back, because I believe he's coming back. He's going to toot and I'm going to scoot, right? That's what's going to happen. How wonderful would it be if he came back and we were all sitting in the same place worshiping? That would be a wonderful thing. So we attend worship regularly. When we come to worship, we have to prepare ourselves and ask yourself this question: what am I going to get out of worship tonight? What am I going to get out of worship tonight? You need to come expecting to receive something from God. You need to come expecting his presence, expecting him to be here. Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord and shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with song. When's the last time you went to a concert that you really just loved? My wife has an aunt that would absolutely die if Neil Diamond walked in the room. Right? Am I right? Yeah. Or Elvis. I mean, Elvis, but we'd all kind of probably fall there on that one. But Neil Diamond walking in the room, she can't handle it. When I was in college, who did I sing for? Do you remember? Who's that? Paul Anka. I sang backup at a concert for Paul Anka. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn, but we looked pretty good out there. But as soon as Having My Baby came on, these women, grown women, I mean adult grown women, were screaming and falling the aisle. I thought, well, I'm not that good looking. Apparently it wasn't for me, it was for Paul Anka. So imagine if God got here and we were that excited and that excited to be in worship. So, attend church regularly. Lastly, if you want to grow closer to God, we need to live a life of obedience. So, if you want a closer walk with God, you got to be obedient. John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Listen, being obedient means really our response to who God is. When God says go, you go. That's what being obedient means. Just because God says to do something and you do it, that doesn't get you into heaven. It just gets you to be closer to God. You get to be obedient. So all those things, how do we develop a closer relationship with other people? You spend more time with them, right? You talk, you conversate. Is that a word, conversate? It is now. You have conversations with people. And in conversation, you open up your heart to them. And you share with them. And you listen to them at the same time. We recognize the wrongs that we've done, and we ask for forgiveness. That's how relationships are built. That's some of the way relationships are built. And we do things for them that they need. So building a relationship with a human being, why is it easier than building a relationship with God? Well, I'm a people person. I like people, right? I'm a people person. Listen, let's be God people. Let's have a relationship with God. And do whatever it takes. All those things are just part of interpersonal relationships, right? I tell my kids, in order to be successful in your job, you need to be friendly. You need to be approachable. And you need to like people. Because mean people never get anywhere at all. And it's the same kind of thing with Jesus in our relationship with him. Our best shot in getting to know God is to build a relationship with him, an interpersonal relationship with Jesus. Yeah? See? No pages. I'm done. Amen. And it's 5:42. Who's buying dinner? Okay, cool. No. So, anyways, so we got it. I always feel like I grew up Southern Baptist, and so we used to do an invitation at every service. One of the things I've always said was, we're not going to end a service without an invitation. This stinking COVID thing drives me nuts because we don't do an invitation. But I will tell you that I'll pray for you if you want to be prayed with. All right? During this last song, if you want to pray, you just come stand over here and we'll go in the hallway and pray. All right? And I won't touch you. You don't touch me. We'll leave the door open just for kicks. All right? Let's stand together and have the kiddos lead us.